Okay, this is July 13, 1995. Tape 3, side 5. It's a continuation of the last tape, which is kind of stupid. I'm Gabrielle Tinman. I'm the interviewer, and Jean Gershon is the recorder. Ruth, we were talking about National 4.
Okay. And I was telling you that Eileen Lane was probably a force in this, because during my presidency, she complained of inattention from National to Pittsburgh. And oversights, and so forth. And really, she had a good case. And I never believe in whining, and I said that right then, and I asked Eileen, who I had no idea she was as articulate as she is, to please write it down, and we would send it off and make it known how we felt. And she did, and she wrote a masterful letter, and we didn't even have to put it together. And so a woman died who was on the National Board, and the National President called me and said, would you consider being on the National Board? Well, it was not even in my realm of thinking, and I did consult with several people. It was a good thing for Pittsburgh, we all thought, and it was a different time and a different kind of service from National. It was a very close relationship. You had an advisor, you had someone in the district that was helpful to you. There was an enormous amount of training. I cannot tell you how the emphasis has shifted. I don't think it's bad. I'm not saying it. In any event, you needed close bonds with these people that were doling this stuff out. So it was determined that it would be a good thing that I would try for a year, and of course I did. And I stayed on, and then I was elected. Among other things, we had been slighted in the election. Rachel Porter had been on the board. For reasons that I can't remember, I think a past board member submitted her name at the last minute, and Rachel was bypassed. Shirley Levine had been on the board, and her time was up. And she was such a good National board member, and she had never been given a leadership opportunity after that. In any event, I did stay on for 8 years. After, you know, I couldn't be elected, then I was appointed. But then came a change in Jerome's health and his eyes and so forth. And I didn't feel free to just go off on these things. And I gave it my all. There were a lot of talented people there, but I swear I got the best A for effort. It was at the time when you could fly to New York for $35. If they needed me, I was there. I did their employment manual. I worked fundraising. I really did whatever they told me. And when I couldn't do it, I came to Pittsburgh and I said, you got me into this. Let's work it out together. They wrote a whole show for me here. I had no creative ability at all. And it turned out to be a wonderful show, which they took to a national convention.
Oh, great.
And in any event, it was very a mind-boggling, mind-expanding event for me. I was in awe of that position the whole time I was in it. I felt like it was happening to somebody else. I loved the people I worked with, and that I just have to say about my presidency, too. A real highlight in that were the women. It is unbelievable the quality that devotes itself to advocacy, education, social service, and so forth. I mean, this is a forward-looking and compassionate kind of group, period.
Now, I have two more questions. One just came to my mind just this minute.
Right.
Council currently has a paid Ruth Garfunkel. What's her title?
Executive Director.
Right. When did that come about? Was that
That's been
tenure?
Slow coming about.
Was that during your presidency?
No.
That was all volunteer before?
That was all volunteer. My executive director, my was Janet Speer.
As a volunteer?
A volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah. She had been under me as a vice president, mm-hmm. and I've retained that friendship. There is vast difference in ages, and I adore this young woman and her family, and she really got her training.
And she currently, her job is with the
UJF.
As a paid person.
That's right.
Right.
Right. Now, Ruth, I think it was indicated. Volunteerism was falling off. I supported that totally. But it also did what I thought it would do. A lot of people that should be doing these jobs turn it over to Ruth. And it can't be helped. That's just part of the territory. I happen to think she's the second person. The first person was... She's a first executive director, but the first paid assistant to the president was Sylvia Susna, and that was during Carol Williams' time. It may have been, I think, the president before, and I'm not just sure who that was. It may have been Barbara Feldman, but it came to be, you know, as these things move along.
Now, of course, well, I'm going to ask him. Volunteerism has changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Do you think council will continue
change with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're very adaptive. I really do. I think it's yes, they will change with it. That's the answer to the question. They have the abilities.
And they are making room for professional women.
Oh yes,
night,
oh yes, yes. And these are slow in coming, and when you try them, they don't always work. We have had board meetings not well attended and so forth at night. I believe it was during my presidency we hired the first working woman. Her name was Margie Aronson, and she worked at Carnegie. And it failed. It didn't work.
I do know, but I don't know much about it, and I don't know if you want to address it. You were at one time on a committee that met with executives of Pittsburgh corporations. Am I right?
No, I don't know. As the only time I've met is going for grants.
Well, was that?
I did.
Yeah.
But they were appointment sort of things,
I see.
And they were just a certain group of people that did that.
I see. And it was that. Through council?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is that successful?
That was one of those things that fell between the cracks, really. We had great possibilities, but we were intimidated by them, I think, at the time, and didn't use our opportunity. It was a failure of ours, but it was early. It was early, and it was a step forward. We didn't take the next step for a lot of years. And now there are vehicles that you address when you try to get monies. There are community monies put aside. There are grant monies. They meet at certain times of the year. I mean, it's very highly structured. You used to go in and beg.
Do you get any money from Pittsburgh Foundation?
Oh, yes. For various things. Mm-hmm.
But the council has to go out?
Yes, yes. You write a grant.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work. Ruth is excellent at that.
Okay, I don't have any more questions. Do you, Jean?
No.
So we finished.
I think so.
All right.
I think so, yeah, unless you want to talk about your dear, adorable grandchildren.
No, I'm not going to talk about my dear, adorable grandchildren.
Well, they are.
I will say that they've been the stars.
Cool.
Yeah, and they continue to be.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Before you finish about the housing.
Oh, the Forward Chatty.
Well,
can you give us that?
Yeah, Jerome was on this committee,
yeah.
And arranged the financing and so forth. And I have to tell you, there was financing arranged to go beyond Forward Housing, but it was shot down. And for what reasons, nobody knew. It was quite mysterious. But Forward Housing speaks for itself. one thing, they've had great, great administrative help. Shirley Katz is there. I don't know what you want to know about. Jerome actually did the, you know, the financial arrangements and so forth, which were quite complicated. Our Pittsburgh is less inclined to, more inclined to large mortgages and less money. And
but how did it come about? I mean, obviously there was a need.
Well, there was HUD. Oh, yeah. There was definitely a need. And they had not approached the government heretofore. And, of course, that's... I think Riverview came first, didn't it? But the forward housing was the unique concept, the unique financing and so forth, and Jerome became the president of forward housing, and he's had quality, it's had quality leadership all along, and the paid staff headed by Shirley Katz has been just super. So it used to be a sterling example, and it's been self-sufficient, and it always has a waiting list, and whatever's happened to Riverview has happened separately. They have tried to put them together. I don't think Jerome necessarily has an opinion on that. You know, what's ever current and good for the community. But it has just been gangbusters. And is that what you wanted to know? That's it.
Because that was sort of a...
And the committee has been diligent and good, and I forget all the members, all the chairmen, but every one of them has done a fine, creditable job.
So that's a
positive. Yeah, and it's one of the few. I mean, it's without criticism.
Has Jerome been involved in other communities?
He does pro bono, not much now because... yes, he has. I'm trying to think. He's been involved in some lawyer things with the bar and so forth. Finance Committee at UJF he chaired. He serves on various committees. I don't know about, I'm questioning the Budget Committee. I don't know whether that was his association through the Finance Committee, but he chaired the Finance Committee for a long, long time. He was very instrumental in developing and planning their use of grants and how they, their foundation. Okay.
Have either of you been active? I mean, not as participants, but active in the Red Shalom.
Jim Lieber rose up, maybe because he's taller, and then moved away from it because he was getting near the presidency of the men's club. I never served on the board. I have gone to board meetings for various things, one of them being, which was a coup, getting the Designer Day sale in their social hall the year before they remodeled it for two, and sort of gave us our foot in the door, and of course it was highly successful. And no, I would say not. I think
I have another question, only because I know you, and I think it'd be interesting for the tape. When your boys were bar mitzvah ready,
there was nothing.
There was nothing at Rosh Hashanah.
No.
And what did you do?
I tell you what I did. My dad, at the time, was the oldest living bar mitzvah from Tree of Life. And we arranged with Mr. Dinkin, I think his name was, or whoever it was, it was not Mr. Dinkin, to join Tree of Life for the span of time that it would take them to get, not move in and out like other, you know, for the bar mitzvahs. And we remained members for quite some time of both congregations. But it was sad for us because we were deeply immersed in Rosh Hashanah. I was on committees and Sunday school committees and all you know, much more active, and we just grew apart from it.
Now, was this not uncommon that families who felt they wanted their boys to be partners, that they did this?
They did it. It was common practice. Mm-hmm. And it meant a great deal to my in-laws, who were wonderful people, and they were members of Beth Sholem. Mm-hmm. But we thought that the Tree of Life was the ideal path, compromise, and they agreed. They were so pleased. I think they didn't have a thought that we were going to do that. You know, my whole family wasn't bar mitzvahed. So,
and we talked about it once, and I was also grew up at that time when bar mitzvahs were very rare in Reform congregations. But I think it's nice to have a document.
Yes. Yeah.
It's another era. Okay. I think we're really finished.
All right. I want to thank you. Can I compliment you on the tape?
Well, that's first.